Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/Nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm Nun Vav, Psalm 56. Our Psalm 56 begins, Lamnatzeach al Yonat Elam Rechokim. It is not at all clear what Yonat Elam Rechokim means, although the preposition al seems to indicate some type of instrument or some type of musical construction. It is interesting, however, that a yona, a dove, exists in the previous psalm, Psalm 55, as well. There, David wishes to have a dove's wing so that he could fly away from his troubles. So perhaps Yonat Elam Rechokim, literally, which means something like a faraway, mute, or silenced dove, has a similar meaning here as well. Or it could just be that the shared word, Yonah, in the previous psalm and Yonat Elam Rechokim in the current psalm, caused the editor of Tehillim to place these two psalms, 55 and 56, together, even though the two words are unrelated, one meaning a dove and the other one a type of instrument or a type of musical construction. However, another unusual word, node or travels, is also mentioned in this psalm later on, as well as in the last psalm, speaking about the dove in his travels in Psalm 55. Here, in this psalm, it describes the wandering of the psalmist, as well as the amount of tears that he sheds in his suffering. So with two connections, two words connected to each other, there is a tendency to try to make a meaningful or to create a meaningful understanding of this inscription rather than just writing it off as a musical notes or some kind of instrumental. The poets of medieval and pre-medieval times, they felt that Yonat Elam Rechokim was a metaphor for the Jews in exile after the destruction of the temple. The Radak, who's much more historical, says that Yonat Elam is David referring to himself as a dove who was chased away from his people. The Radak also offers another opinion, which is that it may be connected with the rest of the inscription. L'David michdam be'echoz oto plishtim begat. A michdam by David as the Plishtim held him, i.e. David, captive in Gat. This, essentially, is a recollection of the story of 1 Samuel chapter 21, the end of chapter 21, where David runs from King Saul, who's out to kill him, and he runs away to the land of the Plishtim, the land of the Philistines. Some of the Philistine officers accept him under the theory that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. The king of Gat, whose name is Achish, is not so easily persuaded that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. He is not convinced that David is an ally, and in fact, he has him tossed in jail, waiting to see what to do with him. Now, in that story, the jailing of David is not spelled out clearly. However, it may be inferred from the words "be Adam," as I will explain later on, because it becomes important to our psalm. So David, who's in jail, fearing that Achash will have him killed, which is probably exactly what was going to happen, pretends to be crazy and starts scratching and drooling until the king Achish has him thrown out of his land, out of the land of the Plishtim. So based on connecting the idea of Yonat Elam with the historical reference to David's interaction and near-death experience in the land of the Plishtim, the Radak says that David acted like a dove in its kind of head-twitching emptiness and foolish way that a dove sort of pecks and peeks around, and David mimicked that in order to convince Achish that he was crazy and therefore have him thrown out rather than killed. I'm going to offer another possibility below, but we do have to accept that it is possible that it is simply just a musical instrument or some kind of musical instruction, as is the word michtam, which is also unclear. There are six michtamim in Tehillim, and this is the first of a set of consecutive five from Psalm 56 all the way through Psalm 60. So it perhaps explains why they're all grouped together. Psalm 17 is the sixth michtam, but again, if that clearly is some kind of musical instruction, even though we really can't tell, and we really can't recreate what that is. on to the psalm. Choneni Elohim ki she'afani enosh kol hayom lochem yilchatzeni. O God, have mercy on me because man, as a reference in general to man in general, is out to get me. The warrior oppresses me every day. We have the possibility here to historicize. Enosh, a person, can mean the king of Gat, or it could mean his soldiers who held him captive, while the king of Gat decided what to do with him. Locham might mean the same people, or it might be the king of Gat, or it might even be King Saul, from who David was running away. It's hard to pin down, and as you may have noticed from previous lessons of mine, I try to avoid historicizing or over-historicizing, because Psalms are specifically meant to be universal. They're meant to apply to many people in many historical settings or time settings, because they're not meant to be, you know, one-time use only prayers. They're meant to be as usable today as they were when they originally written. However, I can't shake the feeling that this psalm, Psalm 56, was written under the exact kind of duress that is described in 1 Samuel with the story of David in the Plishti land. I will demonstrate that the psalm has unusually frequent repetition. It has an almost halting and fearful speech, as if it's being written in a hurry. Shafu shorai kol hayom ki rabim lochamim li marom. My enemies are out to get me every day. Indeed, there are many who war against me, O you one on high. Note the repeated word shoaif, which I'm translating here as desire, as per chapter 1 of Kohelet. Ibn Ezra says shoaif means to mock. Amos Chacham says it means to trample, or it might mean trample, like the word Yishufeni Rosh about the snake in Genesis. But whatever the word means exactly, it's truly bad thing that the enemies are doing, or these warriors are doing to David. Another repetition from the previous verse is the word lochem, to make war. And whether this means a real war, like, or real warriors like Saul, like King Shaul, Saul, or the Philistines, or the king of Gat, or whether it's a metaphoric war, meaning it's an adversary, it's also clear. Also note the unusual name for the word God, which is Marom. But either way, this verse seems to pretty much repeat everything that was going on in the previous verse. Yom ira ani elech eftach. In a day of fear, I trust in you. Now, I'm adding a bih in front of the sentence. In a day of fear, I trust in you. Since the plain meaning is very choppy without that preposition, it literally means, a day I will fear, I will trust in you. Be'elohim ahalel devaro, be'elohim batachti lo ira ma ya'aseh vasarli. In God, I praise his words. In God, I trust. I won't fear whatever a mortal might do to me. The author wants simply to say, in Elohim, I trust, Elohim, batachti. But he interrupts himself after the words in Elohim. He bursts out by saying, I praise his words. And then he repeats the word in Elohim, moving on to I trust afterwards. Now, by itself, this interruption is not significant, since such interruptions appear in Tehillim from time to time. However, we will see that when he returns to this idea, the interruptions become more extended and more noticeable. Kol hayom divarai yatsevu alai kol machshavotam lara. Again, in this verse we have repetitions. In this case, the word divarai, my words, rather than the word divaro, his words from the previous verse. So he says, every day they cause sadness from my words. All of their thoughts about me are bad. Again, I usually try to avoid historicizing based on the inscription. But I keep getting the sense that our psalmist is incarcerated here, perhaps even undergoing torture by his captives. He is unsure of his fate and is desperately trying to gain freedom. The phrase, they cause me sadness from my words, kol hayom divarai yatsevu, sounds a little bit like the Plishtim saying, what should we do with this David guy about who his own people brag that he killed 10,000s of our own people, which is described when he was actually making war on them. And then Achish quotes that little ditty by saying in Samuel 21 verse 12, Hika Shaul ba'alafav David berivotav. Shaul killed only thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. And who did he kill? He killed Plishtim in the tens of thousands. So the repetition of these verses and these words, the word lochem, fighter, which is a very uncommon word, the interrupted speech, all of this makes it seem like the history of 1 Samuel, the history of David stuck in the land of Plishtim, nearly going to get the death penalty and somehow managing to escape. I feel like that history is really necessary to understand this psalm, that this psalm is very much, I don't want to say it's not universal, but for a true understanding, it really is very much tied to the story which inspired it. Yaguru yitzponu hema akeva yishmaru kaasher kivu nafshi. They congregate, they ambush, they watch my every step as they wait to get me or as they wait to kill me. Al avin palit lamo ba'af amim horeid Elohim. For their evil, eject them, O God, bring down the nations with anger. Nodi safarta ata sima dimati benodecha halo besifrotecha. You have counted my wanderings. Again, I'm compelled to historicize because it fits perfectly with the wanderings of the outcast and outlawed David in and out of King Shaul's house, in and out of the land of Moab, and essentially in and out of any place where David could keep one step ahead of death. And then we have the famous line, Sima dimati benodecha, halo besifrotecha, place my tears in your bottle. Are they in your count? That is to say, you count my travels, so too, count the tears that fall in my travails. Note again the repetition, both of the words sefor, to count, and node, which in the first case means travel, and then in the second case means a bottle. They're spelled slightly differently, but they sound the same, node and node. And if you keep track of my sufferings, David says, then, Az yashuvu oyevai achor biyom ekra ze yadati ki Elohim li. Then, on the day I call, assumingly I call out this prayer, my enemies will draw back. This I know, that God is with me. And now we return to the refrain, I trust in God, be'elohim batachli, with an interrupted speech. But before, we only had only one interruption in getting that refrain out. Here we have two. Be'elohim, ahalel davar. Ba'adonai, ahalel davar. In God, interruption one, I will praise the word. In the Lord, interruption two, I will praise the word. Notice that it doesn't say dvarai here, his or God's word, as it did before, but it just says word, which we'll get back to in a second. Finally, David says what he wanted to in the refrain. Be'elohim batachti, lo ira ma'aseh adam li. In God I trust, I won't fear whatever a man might do to me. The interruption changes a bit, by the way, from dvaro, as I mentioned, to davar. So I would like to pose another explanation. The word ahalel might mean to praise, but it could also come from the word holelut, which means to act foolishly. And it matches the words used when David is held captive in the story of, in the book of Shmuel. There it says, Vayit holel biyadam, which means, and he, David, went crazy in their hands. So apparently he was in their hands, and this is how we can know or deduce that he was a captive of the Plishtim. And therefore, when David wanted to escape, because he knew that Achish thought him to be the enemy who was going to kill him, David essentially pretended to be nuts. Vayit holel biadam. He went crazy in their hands. After which, Achish had him kicked out of Plishti land. So perhaps David is saying, in God, interruption one, I will make crazy words. In the Lord, interruption two, I will make crazy words. So while I try to avoid historicizing usually when I'm teaching Tehillim, when I'm trying to understand Tehillim, it seems to me that everything here fits the story of David being held captive and pretending to be crazy, and therefore I think the psalm is best understood by, in fact, historicizing. And in this case, I don't think it's over-historicizing at all, but I think it's correctly historicizing. Finally, after all this repetition, all this choppy psalm, when one feels like it was written in prison while under duress, we have two very common elements which are found in individual laments, which this surely is. This is without question an individual lament. First, we have a promise to give God a thanksgiving, assuming that God saves him, and we have confidence that, in fact, the psalmist will be saved by God. Alai Elohim nidarecha ashalem todot Lach, it is on me, O God, to make or pay my vows to you. I will pay a todah, a thank you offering, to you. And now, finally, we have the confidence, in the confidence tense. Ki hitzalta nafshi mi mavet halo raglai mi dechi lihitalech lifnei Elohim be'orach hayim. Because you have saved me from death, indeed you have saved my legs, or prevented my legs from stumbling, so that I can walk before God in the light of the living. In this verse, I personally see a man escape from a dark, damp cell of the deadly type that they had in ancient times, and this man hopes to walk again and to see any kind of light, which is, in fact, a return out of jail into the land of the living. And while the author is so confident that this will happen, he phrases it in the past tense, I have no doubt that David wrote this psalm in his memory, because he certainly didn't have paper and pen, or parchment and feather and ink, while he was still in prison in the land of the Philistines trying to come up with a way to escape death, and that when he did escape death, or perhaps before he escapes death, he feels very much like a Yonat Elem Rechokim, a silenced dove far, far away from home.